This is Eric from the band Aitla, and you're listening to Power Rock Podcast with host Jim Madonna. Crank it up.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I would like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream, whether it be rock, metal, heavy metal, speed metal, contemporary, melodic rock. Man, we got it all. And friends, first I want to share that 2016 has been an amazing year. And I want to thank all of you guys that have supported Power Rock Podcast, because it truly does mean the world to me. And I can't think of a better way to close this year out with my next guest, because I have on the line vocalist Eric Aitla of the band Aitla. Eric, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You know, Eric, I truly want to thank you, man, for giving me a call and giving me the opportunity to do this interview. You know, I had stumbled across you guys on Facebook, man, and, you know, I was really impressed on what Aitla had to offer, man. I greatly appreciate you accepting. I feel that you guys have so much to offer the music industry.
Well, Jim, thanks for letting me be on the show and promote the band, and it's an honor for me that you're letting me be on the show.
Eric, what I want to do, man, is get this party started right, brother, is why don't you go ahead and give the listeners that may not know who Aitla is, give them some history about when you guys kind of got started and how Aitla was evolved. And what we're going to do throughout this interview is we are going to play some tracks off the album American Nightmare. And man, I just want to have a good time. So, brother, the floor is yours.
Well, thanks, Jim. I'll give the Reader's Digest history of the band itself. So, you know, I've been writing songs since I was in high school. In 1992, I was in the military. I was stationed at a military installation in Holland, and I was putting my first real band together. I got some guys, a couple Dutch guys, had an American guy that was a singer, and we were just kind of starting to learn some songs, but we didn't have a name yet. And the singer had said, you know, we went through like every band, you go through many iterations of names, trying to figure out something that sounds original, trying to figure out something that nobody else is using. You know, one of the names that I remember specifically was Morbid Curiosity that came up. But the singer just said one day at practice, he's like, why don't we just call the band Aitla? You know, we're playing your songs. It's a name that doesn't lend itself to any one genre. It's kind of, you know, an ambiguous name. And so it just kind of stuck. So the first variation of Aitla was formed in 1992 in Holland, played around for about a year and a half. And unfortunately, I was getting out of the military. And so I left Holland, came back to the United States. And then for many years, I just kind of, you know, kind of wrote demos. I was in other people's bands, but I kind of used Aitla kind of as a side project or a way for my specific creativity to come out, as opposed to being in a band. And a few years later, around 2009, I kind of got tired of being in other people's bands, because, you know, you get in a band, you know, you try to write or you learn a bunch of songs and then try to do something, meaning, you know, we were trying to write songs and the bands would just, you know, have a peak really quick and then fail. And then I was left to trying to get into another band. And I said, I'm just going to kind of revitalize the Aitla name, or write songs and just concentrate on the band Aitla. So that's when I kind of started the journey of really concentrating on Aitla as a band again. I just started releasing albums. And around 2011, I got together with some guys and formed a live band. So the first album was 2009, it was Bed of Thorns. 2011 and 2014 were two other albums, Haunt Your Flesh and Effigy. And so now here we are in 2016, and we just released the album American Nightmare, and it just came out on December 6th.
December 6th. Now, the album American Nightmare, that is available on iTunes and
any digital retailer should be available. Spotify, iTunes, Bandcamp. Probably so many I can't even name, because some of those I don't even recognize when I look at the list of the digital distribution. And it's also available on CD for people who actually still like CDs.
That's awesome. And that's the way it should be. You know, I think hard copies today are the way to go. You know, support the indie artists. The digital download era is, in my opinion, has really hurt the artist of today.
It certainly has. And a related story to American Nightmare and the other albums, and I'm sure all bands see this. The day the album came out, if you Googled the album name, you could find it on download sites for free, which, you know, it's kind of disheartening as a musician that, you know, the minute it comes out, people can go download it for free. At least in the world, you still have some, you know, honest people that will still pay for stuff like that. But unfortunately, you know, most people will go get it for free on some of these pirate sites.
You had stated that you do the songwriting for the band.
Right.
You know, and I noticed that you have that heavy metal, that progressive metal, that thrash metal kind of sound. You know, how did you come up with that, man?
Well, basically, you know, it's basically my influences over the years, and I just kind of meld them all into one melting pot, and however I write or whatever I write just comes out organically. You know, I may have a song or a riff that's sort of Black Sabbath-y, and I'll just write a song based around that. I may have something that's more thrash metal, like some of the, like American Nightmare is probably more of a thrash song. You know, No Questions, which we're going to play a little later, is more kind of a bluesy type song, a little bit bluesy, or a little stoner metal-ish. But, you know, however, I write songs organically. So however it comes out. And I feel that if it comes out organically, I'll release it under the Aitla, the band name, because it's just the way that it's meant to be. I don't try to shoehorn into any specific genre because I feel that's, again, I use that word organic. It's inorganic to do that. And a quick example that I love to share with people is that there was a local band around here, and we had played a show with them a few years ago, and they were some dash core band. I couldn't tell you, but every song had the same formula where they had the sort of death metal verses, but then they had the kind of the screamy, whiny sort of choruses, and every song was exactly that. And then they had the breakdowns, and you could, every time a song started, you knew that how it was going to flow. So I was, a few years after we played with them, I was just, their name popped in my head. I'm going to Google them or find them on Facebook. And they had a long Facebook post that said, hey, we were writing songs for a new album. And as we wrote the songs, they weren't, we didn't feel like they fell under this band name because that band is this kind of band. So we're going to create a new band and release these songs that we were writing together as a band under this new project name. And I thought that just is a perfect example of guys that are trying to write songs to fit some kind of genre that they think is popular at the time. My philosophy is you write a song, how it comes out organically, and that shows in your writing. And I think people appreciate that more than songs that are just cookie cutter, trying to fit into a specific genre because it's the it thing.
Right. Plus you have the ability to touch so many different people that enjoy, like, the, for example, the thrash metal or the power metal or the progressive metal. So what you've done is really have become very versatile in doing what you do.
Well, thanks. You know, and some people don't appreciate that. You know, I've gotten some criticism on album reviews in the past where they said, oh, there's too many genres. But, you know, I just stick to my guns, as they say, and just write what I write. And if, you know, it's to make me and the band happy first, then to make anybody else happy. And if other people like it and appreciate it, then that's all the better, right? I'm not in this to be a millionaire. You know, I'm just in this because I love music and I love writing and sharing what I do. And, you know, then you'll find people that really appreciate what you do. And, you know, that's what makes it worthwhile for me.
Well, you, like I said, Ben, you guys are an amazing band, and I'm ready to play some tunes. So, track I want to play is called American Nightmare. That's the song off the self-titled album. Why don't you go ahead and give the listeners some history about that song?
Well, I mean, that's probably one of the last songs I wrote for the album. The title just kind of came, again, organically. I was trying to write. I had some verses that, just general in songwriting, and songwriters will identify with this. Sometimes you just write verses. They don't really have a theme or anything. And then you start going through your lyrics and you kind of put it together and you're like, hey, I see a theme here. And then, you know, the last part I actually wrote was the chorus to tie it all together. And really, the general theme of American Nightmare is more or less, you know, when you live life, right, sort of like The Matrix. It's going to sound corny, but it's sort of like the movie The Matrix, where you really find out you just kind of live, or in life, you really kind of have a role, right? You're going to do your job, so to speak, and to make the best you can of your time on this earth, regardless of the hand you were dealt. So it sounds kind of corny, but that's just kind of how I thought of the theme. You know, of course, I had to evil it up a little bit because it's metal.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm going to tell you what, man. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear American Nightmare with Aitla on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up. right, welcome back. We are with Eric Eitla. Eric, you know, all these tracks are amazing. I'll probably say that every time, but, you know, well done, my friend. Kick-ass tune, brother.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Eric, next question I want to ask you, man, is that you've been in this a while. What is your feelings on the music industry as a whole today? You know, as we both know, there's been a lot of ups and downs, some pros and cons. If you don't mind, how about maybe giving us some pros that you have found in the industry and some cons?
I would say the pros definitely are the technology, because obviously I'm a little bit older, so I remember recording demos on a 4-track, and obviously you couldn't release songs in a 4-track because, right, the quality wasn't there. But through the years, obviously with computers and the prosumer kind of recording gear you can buy, and even more professional gear you can buy for working at home, people can produce a good sounding album. You know, of course, it's not going to sound like a Tool album they spent a year on and maybe $1 million, but you can produce a good sounding album. But the problem with the con of that is that with this technology in hand, is anybody can release an album, and there's such a ocean of bands now that release stuff, because there's no vetting process, right? You can go to CD Baby, or you can go to some other digital distribution provider, and you can put out anything, right? You can record something on a boombox, if you still have one, make it digital, and release it as an album. So, you know, the pros of today is the technology, and it's cheaper, but again, the downside, there's just too many people out there, and it's hard to get recognition as a musician when you write, or as a band, when you release your album. And as far as the music industry in general, you know, like I said earlier, you know, our album was released, you know, it was out there to download for free the day it was released. And that's a sad state as well, because record labels are suffering, right? There's really no label backing of a band or a musician anymore. There's no money in it, right? Obviously, like I said, I don't do it for money, but touring bands that want to try to make money, you're not going to make money from album sales. You're not going to make money from anything, even live shows. You know, people don't go to shows as much anymore. You just hope you sell merch, and even labels want to cut in on your merch, right? Or venues want to cut in on your merch because they know, you know, the stream of money is getting smaller and smaller, and the artists really suffer in the end, right? Because everybody takes out of their pockets, and then the musicians or the artist is left with what's left over, and it's generally not very much.
Now, has Eitla had the opportunity to play with any mainstream artists?
Well, no, we haven't played on any shows. You know, we did do a small tour in 2014, and when you say a named artist, I don't know if some people may know Blood Soak. They're a death metal band out of Raleigh, actually live in the same area we do, but in general, you know, we haven't really played with any notable artists or got to be on any shows with any notable artists. Unfortunately, we're working on it, but, you know, it's a hard thing to try to get to know the right people to get on those shows and to get on people's list of bands to be a local opener for a national act when they come through.
Right on. No one said that the music industry was easy today, that's for sure.
Well, it's not easy, and it's just like anything else. Like, sometimes it's who you know, or, you know, who you know in the local scene, or who the booking guy is, and if you're favorable to somebody or not.
Right, exactly. The next song I want to talk about on the album is called No Questions. How about some history on that one, man?
So No Questions, I would kind of, when I was writing it, it was kind of my dirty deeds done dirt cheap. So when I started, you know, putting it together, it started getting that. So most people on this podcast should know AC/DC's Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, the song about a hitman, more or less. And so when I was kind of putting it together, I was kind of getting that vibe in the lyrics, and I kind of wrote in that direction. I mean, it doesn't sound anything like it musically, but basically the song is about your friendly neighborhood hitman.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you what, man. Here it is. No Questions with Eitla. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We are with Eric Eitla of Eitla. And again, like I stated before, another great tune, man. Well produced, well written.
Thanks, Jim.
Next question for you, man. What can the people expect from Eitla here in the near future?
Well, in the near future, we're going on another 10-day tour to Europe. And kind of excited because we're hitting different cities than we did when we did in 2014. So we're going to Czech Republic, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, and there's still a couple more dates that need to be fleshed out before that's finalized. But that's going to be in April. Probably, you know, play some shows here in North Carolina. I would love to, you know, find a good booking agent, which is hard to do for original metal. But if we could, you know, do a small tour in the summer or the fall, I would love to do that. I can't guarantee that. Probably see another video, like we played American Nightmare. That has a video for it already. We'll probably do another video sometime in the summertime. Just working on new material, you know, always as a band, you're always working on something new or working on new material to for a new album or some new songs to be released.
As we both know, social media has become huge. Without social media, obviously, I would have never heard of Eitla. How important do you feel that it is to communicate with your fans?
Well, obviously, it's really important, right? Because anybody who's a fan, any musician or any band that has a fan that reaches out to them, they should be honored that that person is taking their time. Because when fans email me and say, you know, say we like your material, or I like this song, I'm always humbled because they took their time. And you know, over the years, there's been some fans and there's some diehard Eitla fans, and they, you know, I'm humbled that they took that time. And a good example, I had a fan reach out to me a while ago, and I'm friends with him now, but he was from Brazil, and you know, back in the late '90s, I actually had my stuff posted online. As you know, when I was just doing demos, and I had the demos posted for people to download, because I really wasn't in the mindset of releasing albums. And a few years, probably about 2011, he had emailed me and said, "Hey," he told me this whole backstory about how he was going blind, and he was, you know, he discovered the internet was just getting going in Brazil, and he had found my music, and it really helped him get through this transition from being, you know, from seeing to going blind. And I mean, that's something that's really heavy that somebody tells you, and you're like, wow, I'm glad that makes it all worth it when one person takes that time to reach out and, you know, give you a story like that, because then you know you're making some kind of difference, at least in one person's life. So, you know, in general, when any fan talks to me, you know, in person or on social media, I'm always humbled that, you know, they enjoyed what I do or what I wrote. That's what it's all there for. That's why I do it. And like you said, you know, social media, it's strange because you think, wow, social media is so important. Well, how did bands do it before? Well, it all goes back. It ties back into the, you know, record companies back bands. You know, you growing up were about the same age. You think, oh, I used to have Hit Parader. I used to have Circus magazine, and you read about your bands, and of course there was more of an aura about, you know, musicians of this, you know, lifestyle, and kind of learn that maybe it's not as great as it is in a magazine. But there was a mystique about that era of when you didn't know everything about a musician or a band or even famous people. But now with social media, you know, people are readily available. They're more or less peers or equals, you know, unless they're really famous. But it all goes back to that technology thing that I touched on earlier. But then every band has, you know, there's so many bands out there trying to, you know, push their music or get noticed on social media. You know, it's really hard to get noticed as opposed to the few bands, you know, it seemed like there was just a handful of bands, maybe the late 80s, early 90s, before the technology took off. Even though there might have been the same amount of bands, but now their material is being released due to the technology.
Is there any songs that you have written and produced and actually put on a disc that you kind of look back and say, gosh, I wish I would have never done that, or I would have changed some things in a particular song?
No, and I say that because, you know, history is history. I wouldn't want to change it. And kind of an example of something that I did to sort of, I don't want to say enhance history, but the first Eitla demo was done on a 16-track reel-to-reel, and it was the Selling Heaven demo. One thing I did on the last release on Effigy is, you know, I have 7 new songs written. And I was like, man, I really want to release this. Too many for an EP, but it's not enough for a full-length album for the most part. And I had the original reel-to-reel. I got all the tracks digitized, and I went back and I re-recorded the songs using the original drum and bass track and made the songs sound like I wanted them to sound if I had the technology and the time and the resources in 1992. But as far as changing anything, I wouldn't change any of the old songs or from the prior releases because I like them the way they are. I would say the one exception is I probably would have done, so the first album, full-length album in 2009 was Bed of Thorns. That was sort of a more self-produced, meaning I recorded it. I even mixed it, and then I had somebody else master it. I would have, looking back, I would have had somebody else mix and then do the mastering, which is what I did for the other albums, is I did all the tracks, besides the drums, which were recorded in the studio. But I would have had the first album mixed and mastered by somebody else and not me trying to mix it, because you can kind of tell the difference in the quality. But again, it is what it is. It's a slice of history, a snapshot of that moment and, you know, where I was.
That's awesome, brother. Next track I want to talk about is called Brainwashed. How about some history, man?
Well, Brainwashed, believe it or not, was originally written in 1996. And it's when I was still doing four-track demos. And the song is actually the same exact arrangement as it was in 1996, except it's a little slower. But the song basically is about kind of religious brainwashing, somebody in a cult, somebody you know that basically joined a cult and they became a different person. And you're kind of observing them, and you kind of, you know, it's a story about your observation of that new person. So, and it kind of fit ironically, you know, somebody was listening to the song recently, somebody before the album came out, and they thought, wow, that's a timely song. And I thought, yeah, man, the song's 20 years old. But, you know, if you write a good song, it'll carry over through time, right? It can be a timeless song. So I hope that's what it conveys when people listen to it. They won't say, wow, that sounds like a song written in the 90s. Sounds like a song that could have been written at any time.
It's great. Here it is, Brainwashed with Aitla. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast. And again, we are back with Eric Eitla of the band Eitla. And Eric, again, I hate to sound like a robot, brother, but, you know, well done, sir.
Thank you.
My next question for you is, what type of advice would you give somebody that's starting out in the industry and wanted to start a rock and roll band? What would be your feedback to them if they were to come to ask you that question?
I basically touched on it before, but I'll touch on it again. Write songs organically. Don't try to listen to somebody else. Don't try to listen to what the it thing is or what you think people want. Learn how to write songs by trial and error, but don't try to specifically write for a genre, because you'll find your songwriting will be better in the long run. You know, you'll be able to look back and say, wow, that sounds, you know, that's a good song, as opposed to that song's dated. And a great example is, you know, when you listen to a lot of 80s metal, like I love 80s metal, right? That's kind of what I grew up on, like some Rad and Motley Crue. But you listen to some of those songs and you kind of cringe. You know, you listen to, especially the songs that were sort of the B and the C level bands that weren't quite the mainstream, but they had a little bit of, you know, maybe coverage in Hit Parade or Circus. And you kind of cringe when you listen to the songs, because you know they were just trying to copy, you know, the Motley Crues or the Rats or, you know, the Judas Priests, even though they're more of a 70s band. Yeah, you can even hear it in Judas Priest, right? When they sort of tried to cross genres in some regard, they tried to be something they weren't, as opposed to staying true to themselves. So the advice is, again, just write songs from your heart, and that'll show through, you know, in the song itself, as opposed to trying to be something you're probably not. It'll just be better in the long run.
Just simply be original.
Well, try to be original, right? That's, you know, it's so hard to be original with so many bands, and that's the one thing I'm probably most proud of with, you know, the way that I've written over the years and in some reviews, is people will say Eitla sounds original. It doesn't sound like anybody in particular, and that's something to be proud of over anything else, I think, in my opinion. Just having an original sound and, you know, with the millions of bands that are out there.
Okay. Eric, I want to go ahead and ask you one more question, man, and we're going to go ahead and close this show out, brother, and it's this. What type of legacy would you like to leave to your friends, family, and fans?
That's a great question, and it's a pretty complex question. You know, I don't know personally what kind of legacy I'd want to leave, other than people think I'm a pretty cool guy. I don't know if that'll happen. Some people think I'm cool, some people not. But kind of, I think, as a musical perspective, as the legacy, kind of what I just touched on earlier, is that, you know, music that is original sounding and, you know, wasn't trying to fit into any specific genre, that people appreciate it for that. And, you know, that's probably the only little bit of legacy I like to leave, is original sounding music for the earth to enjoy.
Absolute great answer, my friend. Well, Eric, I'm going to tell you what, man, we're going to go ahead and close this show out, brother. And once again, I sincerely want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me this opportunity. As you use the word humbled, I am as equally as humbled to have you on this show, man. And I want to say to you that I wish you the utmost success in all that you do. And I hope that one day that Eitla takes the main stage by storm, man. And again, you know, all the best to you, my friend.
Well, thanks, Jim. I'm humbled for, you know, you allowing me to be on your podcast and, you know, supporting music the way that you do. And thanks for letting me be here tonight.
You're most welcome. There you have it, my friends. An interview with Eric Eitla, vocalist of the band Eitla. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and close this show out with one more track from Eitla. This one here is called Essence. Crank it up here on Power Rock Podcast. Peace.